We're doing the Ein Yaakov, and we're holding in Brachot Daf Hei Amud Aleph. We had discussed that if one reads Shema by his bedside, so it is equivalent with holding a sword, a double-edged sword, a sword that's sharp on both sides of the blade, to protect oneself from the mazikim, the spirits that can damage one at night. And we proved it from the verse that we say every morning in the Halalukot, that the songs of praise of God are in their throats, and that equates them with having the double-edged sword in their hands. And the Gemara asked me, Mashma, how do we see an inference from this pasuk to this concept? And Marzutra taught us, or it was Rav Ashi who taught us, that we look at the beginning of the verse that says, Yalzu chasidim bechavod yanon mishkivotam, that we're referring to the songs they sing when they lie to bed. And then the verses continue and say, that together with the elevation of God that's in their throats, they have a double-edged sword in their hand. So now the Gemara continues, a quote from Rabbi Yitzchak. Anyone who reads Shema by his bed, mazikin, these spirits that do damage, bidelin mimenu, they separate from him. They stay away from him. Shenemar, as the verse states in Job, in Eov, Uvnei Reshef yagbihu uf. The sons of Reshef, which are a type of demon, some kind of spirit that does damage, are lifted away by the uf. And what's uf? The ein uf ela Torah. Uf is a reference to Torah. The word uf can be a code word for Torah. How so? The verse states, Hataif enecha bo veinenu. In a blink of an eye, you could lose it. In a blink of an eye, Hataif, as you fold your eyelid, veinenu, the Torah could pass on. If a person doesn't remain focused on Torah, so then in the blink of an eyelash he could lose it. So the Torah is referred to as something that one can lose in the folding of an eyelash. So we're saying the word uf is the same source as folding, like ta'if. And therefore when we say that reshef is distanced by uf, so reshef are the mazikin, and it's distanced by uf, which is a reference to Torah. How exactly the Gemara learns this out is a bit complicated, but we're going to leave it simply. From another verse, we see that the word reshef is a reference to those spirits that do damage. Okay. Now we're going to learn inside a Gemara that we've been quoting for years now, here in our classes, and this is a very basic Gemara for the knowledge, for knowing our tradition. Rabbi Levi Bar Chama quotes in the name of Reish Lakish. What does the verse mean when it says that God told Moshe, come up to me, come up the mountain, come up Sinai, and I will give you et luchot ha'even, the tablets of stone, v'atorah and the Torah, v'amitzvah and the mitzvah, the commandments, asher katavti, that I have written lo'rotam to teach them. We have here quite a few descriptory terms, and God is telling Moshe, come up to Sinai and I'm going to give it to you. Now, the simple reading would indicate that Moshe went up to Sinai and got the two tablets. And when the Torah describes God telling Moshe, ascend the mountain, the Torah uses many, many terms to describe what God's about to give him. God tells him, come on up and I'll give you tablets, Torah, mitzvah, that I've written to guide them. Five different terms. And our tradition has it that there were five things that God gave him when he went up to Sinai. Luchot, elu aserta dibot. The luchos are a reference to the Ten Commandments. Torah is a reference to Mikra, to the words of the Torah. So Moshe Rabbeinu got the Ten Commandments. He got the Torah. Mitzvah is a reference to Mishnah, that he got the oral law, the Mishnah. Asher katavti, that I have written, is a reference to Nevi'im and Ketuvim, the prophets and writings. Lehorotam, to teach them. Practical teaching, that's the Gemara. From the Gemara we derive how we're supposed to behave. Melamed, this verse teaches us, Shekulam nitnun Moshe mi Sinai. All of them were given to Moshe at Sinai. So, we're in Brachot, Hei Amud Aleph. If you're looking at the Ein Yaakov, it's Daf Tes in the Ein Yaakov, the letter Yud Aleph in the Ein Yaakov. We're in Brachot, the first chapter. So, firstly, the simple reading of the Gemara is very important. The Gemara is telling us that when Moshe went up to Sinai, he got the written law, he got the oral law, all of it was given to him together, and it evolved, but the basics of the Mishnah and the Gemara were all already around in Moshe Rabbeinu's time, and they were all God-given. So that's step number one. But there's a lot of things that we could derive from this Gemara. Firstly, the Gemara in its enumeration, which is really the ordering in which the Pasuk enumerates the parts of the Torah, is teaching us that when one learns, one's supposed to first learn the Ten Commandments. And then he's supposed to learn Tanakh. And after Tanakh, Mishnah. And after Mishnah, Gemara. A person's supposed to build his learning, even though most of what we need to do stems from the Gemara. But if one tries to jump to learn Gemara and he doesn't have a good foundation in Tanakh and Mishnah, he's going to have a hard time learning it correctly. Secondly, when the Pasuk refers to Torah, so the Gemara says Torah is Mikra. Now the question is, why is Torah called Mikra and Mishnah is called Mitzvah? So Rashi explains, Torah is Mikra because there's a mitzvah to read the Torah. And here we see an important difference between learning Torah and learning Mishnah. When it comes to learning Torah, we just read the words of the Torah, we're performing a mitzvah. Every word of the Torah is God-given, this word exactly, and we know that we have a mitzvah to read the Torah. We're also supposed to understand, but the actual reading, that's why it's called mikra, the reading of the Torah is a mitzvah. When it comes to Mishnah, we weren't given exact words. Tradition always had the concepts. It's Torah Shebaal Peh. Each one would word it in his own way. Along came Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi and codified it. Along came a few generations earlier and they instituted En Adam Hashan Umar LaBilshon Rabo. Maintain the way your Rebbe said it, don't change. But for 1,000 years, from the giving of the Torah to the time of Rebbe, the oral law was given, each Rebbe would use his own word, his own wording, to give over the oral law. So there's no point intrinsically in getting the oral law down to the exact letter, down to the exact word. We have to get the concepts exactly, but the wording isn't so important. So that's why when it comes to learning Mishnah and Gemara, the mitzvah is to be osek in Torah, to delve in Torah, to deal in Torah. But when it comes to learning Torah, the words of the Chumash, the words of the Bible, there we say there's a mitzvah in reading it. When it comes to the reading of the Chumash, so we were given from Sinai the words, the punctuation, and the tunes. So that's why the wording of the Torah, we call it Mikra. We have an exact way in which we're supposed to read it. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Reish Lakish taught us, Kol haosek b'Torah, anyone that delves in Torah, Yisurin b'delin himenu, afflictions stay away from him. So what does it mean they stay away? That means they're on their way, but they see him, he's delving in Torah, they have to stay back. Why are they on their way? Because he deserves it. A person does things and he deserves to be punished. And here we have to stop and discuss a little bit, what does it mean Yisurin? Yisurin is things that are meyaser. They afflict a person. So there are three types of Yisurin, our sages tell us. One encourages a person to do tshuva. When a person is living his life and suddenly he sees things are problematic, so the first type of Yisurin is Yisurin that when they happen, a person, the reason God makes a person's life stop and suddenly he has to deal with problems is so that he stops and thinks, what did I do wrong? To do tshuva. The second type, we're going to learn about later tonight, the Gemara later is going to discuss it, it's called Yisurin Shel Ahava. That when God loves a person, we say sometimes part of that is also there, things are going to be difficult and we're going to have to discuss why. Obviously, that seems to be contradictory. If you love a person, you want to make a good for a person. But there is such a concept as Yisurin Shel Ahava, that stem from love. And the third type of Yisurin are Yisurin when things are difficult for a person and it's a punishment. A person has done something wrong, and the purpose of the Yisurin are not to make a person repent, but to punish him for what he's done wrong. And those are Yisurin that come out of anger, and they cause a person to be incapable of learning or performing mitzvot. They're not there to be constructive as much as to be a punishment. The first form of Yisurin are supposed to help a person become better. This last form of Yisurin, so they come as a punishment. And this really deserves its own discussion. We've once discussed, is the Torah, when the Torah discusses punishment, so philosophically there could be many reasons why we punish. We can punish out of vengeance. A person did something terrible to society. He broke down a dam and everyone's fields were flooded and everyone had to flee town and the whole town was destroyed. So the town might say, okay, after what this guy did, we're putting him in jail. It's not to teach him a lesson. It's not to teach other people a lesson. It's because after what he did, we have to punish him. There's vengeance. There's vengeance, society's vengeance, or maybe we'll say God's vengeance. And the question is, does the Torah have such a concept? Or is a punishment always to build a person? You could say a person did something wrong, so society says, look, he's got to stop and think. We could say it's a deterrent. Sometimes we find the Torah discusses a punishment as a deterrent. Everyone will hear, and then that'll deter people from doing it. So those are three, and there are more reasons why one might get punished. The question is, as far as the Torah is concerned, what are the causes? What can be a reason? And we're going to explore that in our studies of the Chumash throughout the year, and we're going to explore that also in our learning Gemara, and we'll get to part of that tonight. So now, if a person delves in Torah, then you shouldn't stay away. That means he's done something to deserve it, and nonetheless, they're going to have to stay away because he is osek b'Torah. And the question is, we knew that. Reish Lakish has to teach us that. Reish Lakish quotes us a verse from Job. His friends tell him, "Uvnei reshef yagbi uuf." That same verse that the Torah keeps away the punishments. Ve'enuf ala Torah, as we discussed earlier, that uf is a reference to Torah. The Torah keeps punishment away. Shneimar hatif enecha bo ve'enenu. In a blink of an eyelash, you lose Torah. Ve'en reshef eli yisurin. And reshef is a reference to affliction. Shneimar ulchumi reshef. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So his brother-in-law, Rabbi Yochanan, the great rabbi of Israel, turned to Reish Lakish and said, you have to quote me a verse from Job to come and tell me that if you learn Torah, then you don't suffer so much in this world, that it'll keep away affliction. Ha, this concept, afilu tinukot shebet laban yodin to, even the little kids who just started learning Chumash, even they know the concept. Shneimar, for the verse states, Vayomer, God told the Jewish people when they left Egypt, im shamoa tishma lekol Hashem lokecha, if you listen to the voice of Hashem your God, v'ayashal be'inav taseh, and you do that which is straight in his eyes, all the illnesses, all the afflictions I placed upon the Egyptians, I will keep away from you. I am Hashem, your healer. God promises us, go with the Torah, and I'll keep away affliction. So Rabbi Yochanan tells Reish Lakish, what are you going to Job and bring us a complicated verse, and you want to illustrate this concept? It's a simple concept in the Torah. Ella, so Rabbi Yochanan wants to say, from this verse we derive another concept. All who can delve in Torah, the inosek, and do not delve, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevi alav yisurin mocharin vochin oto. If one can delve in Torah and does not, so Hashem sends horrible afflictions to uproot him. Shneimar, the verse states, King David said, David the Melech said in Tehillim, ne'elamti dumiya, I became silent, hecheshiti mitov, I ceased dealing with Tov. Tov is Torah. Uchevi ne'ekar, and my pain became horrible, ready to uproot me. Ve'en tov el ha'Torah shnemar k'lekach tov natati lachem. And when he says, I became silent, I ceased doing Tov, Tov is a reference to Torah. So what was Reish Lakish saying? Reish Lakish said, the verse in Job tells us, all who delve in Torah, that keeps away the mazikim. So, there's an explanation on the Medrash called the Iyun Yaakov, written by Rav Yaakov Reischer. And I don't know who he was. He wrote the Chok Yaakov, which is a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. And he explains the following, a very important, and I don't know of anywhere else that says this, but this is a very important thought. He says like this. Reish Lakish said, Kol haosek b'Torah, all who deal in Torah. Why was he using the word kol, all? He's coming to encompass something which we would ordinarily think is not encompassed. So he says, Reish Lakish came to tell us that this includes even a non-Jew who delves in learning the seven Noahide laws. Anan Drew has to know the seven Noahide laws. So Reish Lakish said, where is this conversation going on? And Job, it's Job's friends talking to him. And Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan have a disagreement whether Job was Jewish or not. We don't know when the book of Job was written. We don't know when Eov was written. We don't know who wrote it. And we don't know exactly who Eov was. Did Eov live in the time of the Shoftim, in the time of Avram, in the time of the First Temple? Different opinions in the Gemara. We don't know. The book of Eov, one opinion says it never happened. It's got a message, but it never happened.
Moshe time he was.
Maybe Moshe?
Because, when Yitro, Bilam and Job.
Okay, that's one opinion. That's true.
They were advisors to Paro, so Bilam said kill, Yitro ran away, and Eov went silent, in a silent manner.
There is such a measure. She's right. The Gemara quotes that. When the Gemara brings this discussion, very good what you're saying. That's how the Gemara brings one opinion. But that's one opinion. There are other opinions.
Seven opinions.
So, what? Seven?
Total of seven opinions.
Okay, good. I don't remember. Okay. So, over there, the Gemara brings that Rav Yochanan was of the opinion that Eov was a Jew. And he had a base medrash in Tiberia, in the time of the First Temple. So Rav Yochanan says, how could you derive from a verse in Job that Torah protects? Torah protects, of course, it's a verse in the Torah, that if a Jew learns Torah, then the Torah protects. But Reish Lakish, he was of the opinion that Eov was a non-Jew, he was a Kuti. And therefore, Reish Lakish came and taught us that even a non-Jew who delves in his seven Noahide laws, even he gets this protection from affliction. And that's why Reish Lakish quotes a verse from Eov, that's what his friends are talking to him about. His friends are non-Jews, he's a non-Jew. And Reish Lakish says, from this verse we derive that everyone, all, that's why he begins with Kol, all of those who delve in Torah, to be inclusive of the non-Jews who delve in their seven Noahide laws, have this protection from affliction that we derive from the verse in Job. We say the Torah is referred to as Tov. Ki lekach Tov nasati lechem. Hashem says, I have given you a good teaching. Torah is called Tov. And in a few minutes, we're going to explore a little bit more about why the Torah is called Tov.
Tov is good.
Tov is good, yeah. So says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Zera, Veitem Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa. We have a quote, we're unsure if it's Rabbi Zera or Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa. Bo u'e, come and see. And whenever we have the term come or go, so we have to wonder, what's the Gemara telling me? Where am I coming to? Where am I going to? When we start a Tanakh quote, the Gemara often says, Ta Shema, come and listen. Where am I going to? Where am I coming? Sometimes the Gemara says, Puk Chazi, go out and see. Where am I going? Going out of the Beis Medrash. The Gemara says, Puk Tani Tnaacha Libara. Sometimes the Gemara says, that quote, go quote it out of the Beis Medrash. That's not a good quote. So then don't quote it at all. What does it mean, quote it out of the Beis Medrash? Don't quote it. Say it's bad. No. The Gemara says, quote it out. We say in the Agadah, say Ulmad, go out and learn what did Lavan try to do to the Jewish people. Where am I going to? Why do I have to leave the Beis Medrash to learn? Where am I going out to? So when we have these terms in the Gemara, at this point we're going to have to just question, what is the Gemara telling me? Bo ur'e, come and see. Shelo k'midat ha-kadosh baruch hu midat basal v'dam. That God's way of behavior is not like mankind's way of behavior. Midat basal v'dam, the way people behave. Adam mocher chefetz l'chaveroh. If a person has an item that he sells to his friend, and it's a good item, let's say a person has a dog. It's a pure breed horse. He could race that horse. He can make a lot of money on that horse. But right now, he can't. He needs the money to pay his mortgage. He sells the horse, and he's waiting for the day he'll be able to buy back that horse. You have an old horse that can't do much, so okay, you're happy to sell it. You have a good horse, you've trained that horse, you want that horse. You have a good dog, you've trained, you want that dog. So when a person sells an item that's good, ordinarily he's sad. Lokach, the purchaser, sameach, he's happy. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu ein ochel. God is not that way. Natan nem Torah li Yisrael v'samach. God gave the Jews the Torah and he was happy. Shenemar, and here's the important point, the verse states, Ki lekach tov natati lachem, I gave you a good teaching. Ordinarily, when we give something, so after we've sold it, if we want a chance at buying it back, so say, okay, I sold it. You sell someone your property and you think it's still going to go up and you really would want to buy it back. So you're not going to start telling me, no, I sold you a good property. After you've made the sale, fine, it's by you. And hopefully I'm going to be able to buy it back before the price goes up. So I'll be able to make the money on it. Whenever we have something that we feel is good, so if we have to sell it, we're not happy. And we're not going to go telling the buyer, oh, you got something good. Hashem comes to us and tells us, the Torah was up in heaven. The angels wanted the Torah to stay up in heaven. And I gave it to you down on earth. I gave it to the Jewish people. No more Torah in heaven. If anyone asks me what the halacha is, I don't get involved. I say the Torah is on earth. I gave the Torah to earth. I'm not supposed to get involved in the Torah anymore. Torah is down there. And nonetheless, Hashem tells the Jewish people, look, I gave you a really good guidance. Lekach tov natati lachem. I gave you something good. Torati al ta'azovu. Don't leave my Torah. Hold on to it. Even though God departed of something, God isn't standing there like a man waiting to take it back. God's saying, you got something good, hold on to it. Amar Rava, v'itema Rav Chista. Rava said, and some say it was his father-in-law, Rav Chista. Rava married Rav Chista's daughter. Rav Chista was a very pious, big sage. And Rava would get man falling from heaven every morning by merit of the fact that he was married to Rav Chista's daughter. Wow. One day he didn't get man, so he knew that Rav Chista passed away, as really occurred, in Yuma.
Why does man fell at the doorstep?
I don't remember the daf. It's in Yuma if you want.
Why did it fall?
Where did it fall? It says he found it between his barrels. Says he would find it between his barrels. Every day he'd find man there till the day Rav Chista died. Yeah.
Wow.
If a person sees that affliction is coming upon him, so notice the terminology. He sees that afflictions are coming upon him. So it could be a person starting to get sick and they take a biopsy and they say, we're going to wait for the results. It could be a person starts feeling under the weather and he's not sure where it's going to end up. It could be a person's stocks are starting to go down. He sees things coming. The storm isn't here yet, but it's coming. Person's living in the Midwest and suddenly hears there's a tornado headed in the way. Something's coming. Yisurin ba'in alav. So we think the first thing you do is go make sure you have your insurance papers all set up. Go make sure you have your doctor's phone number before the weekend. Make sure your medical insurance is paid up. See, he tells us, look, you do have to deal with the physical, but don't forget, yifashpish b'masav. Person has to stop and look over his own accounting. We said one of the reasons that yisurin come is when we've done something wrong. So the first thing a person should do is hope, hey, maybe God's sending me a wake-up call. I should fix something. Let's hope it's not the other kind of yisurin that are here as a punishment. So what's the first thing a person does? He looks over his books, says, wait a second, what did I do wrong? Yifashpesh b'masav. Person should look over what he's done. Shneimar, as the verse states in the end of the third chapter of Eicha, nachpesa derecheinu, we will seek out our ways, v'nachkora, and we will research, v'nashuva ad Hashem, and return to Hashem. That's the chapter that Yirmiyah added to Eicha. That's the, even though in our Eicha it's the third chapter, that's the chapter he added after the king Yoyakim burnt Eicha the first time it was written. So that's a chapter, Ani Gever Ra'a Oni B'Shevet Evrato, I am the man, I have seen the affliction, I've seen how much the Jews have suffered because of God's wrath. And the whole chapter discusses how the Jews are suffering in the time and end of the first temple because of God's wrath. And he ends the chapter by saying, now we're going to have to research, we're going to have to see what we do wrong. Why is all this happening? Pishpesh b'masav umatzah. If a person researched his actions and he found what he did wrong, he said tshuva, so let him repent, as the verse continues and says, v'nashuva ad Hashem, we'll return to Hashem. Now this line that I just read doesn't appear in our Gemaras. I don't know if the censors took it out, I don't know why. For some reason in our edition of the Gemara it doesn't show up. Pishpesh, he looks through his actions, v'lo matzah, and he did not find anything wrong. What kind of person is this? So in a second we'll discuss that. Yitlebe bitutoa. Should assume the reason things are going awry is because he hasn't taken advantage of his time to learn Torah. He's wasted his time. Shenemaz, the verse states, Asher ha-gever asher tiyasrenu kam mitoratcha telamdenu. Praised is a person that gets afflicted, and this should drive him to learn Torah. So one understanding in this Gemara is, if a person has looked over his actions and come to the conclusion that he can't find the cause why God's giving him this punishment, then he's an Amaretz. That's because he's not learned. You ask the average person who hasn't learned the laws of Shabbos, do you keep Shabbos? He'll say, yeah, I keep Shabbos. The Mishnah Brewer quotes in his introduction to the laws of Shabbos, anyone that doesn't master the laws of Shabbos is desecrating every single Shabbos. Impossible that you could keep a Shabbos if you haven't learned the laws of Shabbos well. So the first understanding in this Gemara is that, yeah, if you've come to the conclusion that you've learned, that you've performed all the mitzvot and you can't find the reason why you're getting punished, then it's only because you haven't learned. Learn and you'll see why. And the same thing goes for laws of Lashon Hara, which is also a biblical commandment. We're going to see there are many commandments where if you don't learn them, you can't perform them. Laws of doing business. There are laws we encounter every day. And if you don't learn it, you can't perform. Now, before we continue, we've been discussing Yisurim, and we're going to continue discussing Yisurim for the next week too, probably, and maybe even the following week. These are fascinating Gemaras about what happens when things go bad in life. The Gemara tells us...
Yeah. The Gemara says, well, you have to take the Torah. It doesn't say, well, you have to take the halakha or Mishnah or something like that. Wouldn't it literally you have to take the Torah?
Yeah, that's the understanding that we would assume. But the question on that understanding, which is why they don't go with that understanding, is because if a person hasn't been learning Torah, so why is that secondary? That maybe after we say what we're about to say. What about the verse that says Ulmatem otam, Ushmatem nasotam? Or the verse that says V'dibaltabam, and our sages derive from that that you're not allowed to talk in anything other than Torah. You're right that the verse V'agita Voyimam V'alayla is only in the book of Yoshua. And the question is why the Gemara quotes that verse, and that's discussed. You're right. If it were only that verse, the way you're saying, then we'd have to question if the obligation to learn Torah is biblical at all, because that verse isn't written in the Torah.
It means that you're forsaking learning Torah, you've been spending too much time on other stuff, not you've been spending too much time learning Torah. You've been spending too little time.
Right, for sure. For sure, but
Torah
the...
in Scripture.
What do you mean?
The commandment in Yeshua is that you should learn specifically the Devarim all day and night. If you want to go to the most literal meaning.
Why do you say that?
Because the book that Yeshua was holding at the time when Hashem tells him that you should spend all day and night learning would say the Devarim.
So if you're going to say that, which it doesn't say in the verse, then you're relying on Torah Shebe'al Peh, right? You're saying he was holding something.
But even from the literal reading of the verse, he's definitely holding the state of Torah. It's not whether it's only the Midrash which adds that was specifically stated the Dvarim.
Fine, but if it's so, let's leave the Dvarim aspect because that's So you're supposed to learn Torah. That Torah is...
Which means what it's saying. It isn't saying that you should go and learn Halakha. It's saying that you have not been learning Scripture.
So that... I don't think that's relevant enough to take the time when we have so little time. I think it's worth... Thursday night, we have open session. It's worth discussing that. In 10 minutes, I think we'll be in agreement that the verse means the way Chazal meant, but it'll take 10 minutes, a lot of introductions to get there. No, your point is right. We just have to discuss it to come to the understanding why Chazal said what they did. But now we got to finish this Gemara. So, if you don't mind, well, Mitzvah, just bring it up Thursday. Bezat Hashem will deal with it. The Gemara tells us in Shabbos, "En mita belo chet ve'en yisurin belo avon." There's no death without sin, and chet means a sin by mistake. Meaning, every person in tzaddik ma'at asher yaseh tov velo yechet. Huh? There's no such thing as a pious person who doesn't err at some point and make some kind of mistake, some sin. The any surin, and there's no affliction, below avon, without a purposeful sin. So from this Gemara we see that yisurin, punishments of affliction, will only come for an avon, for a purposeful sin. They won't come for a sin that's done by mistake, a chet, and they won't come for bitulase. If one does not fulfill a positive commandment, a proactive commandment, a mitzvah to say, so then we say, b'shat ritcha, things are going bad, there's a war, there's a time of anger, so then he won't have the protection that he should have. But he won't get punished directly for it. So the only thing that a person will get punished directly for is avon. So that's introduction number one.
Mezid,
correct. Right. Only mezid. Only mezid and only lav.
Shogeg anus, that doesn't count.
Right. Well, shogeg anus, he might be punished in the world to come. He might lose merits in the world to come. But affliction in this world is not because of that. Our Gemara said, a person has to look over his actions. If he looked over his actions and he says, I never did something b'mezid, that you have people who can say. There's no such thing as a pious person who never mistakenly did something wrong. In a minute we have to stop, I'm sorry. So that's what the Gemara says. He's going to look over his actions and he won't find a sin that he did purposely. So what, did I ever stand up and purposely sin? No. So then he should know that even though ordinarily for proactive commandments we don't get punished. We might not have extra protection. We might get punished in the world to come. But in this world, there's no affliction for it. Bitul Torah is different. And that's what the Gemara is teaching us. That when a person can't find anything that he said, I never did anything that purposely wrong. So then it leve bitul Torah. He should assume, wait a second, have I taken full advantage of my time? He should assume it's bitul Torah. And next week, Bezrat Hashem, we're going to pick up over here with a discussion of what happens if he says, no, I've taken advantage of my time. Or I can't learn more than I do. A person says, I have a relative who's ill, I have parnasa, and I can't do more than I do. So then, what's he supposed to do when things are going amok? That Bezrat Hashem we're going to pick up next week. If you want, we could talk. I want everyone else to be able to go to Arvit. I damned already.